Good evening, everyone, and welcome into the house of the Lord. Before we kick off tonight, I'd like to explain. Amen. I'd like to explain. What we're doing, we seem to have terrible feedback here tonight. We're busy in a sermon series, which we kicked off last week, and it's called Home Improvement. And the home improvement that we're talking about, the home improvement that we're looking at, is our own bodies, being the temple of God. And I made a statement last week, and I'd like to remind us of that statement. And the statement is the following. It is not enough to believe the gospel. You see, I said that the devil believes the gospel. He believes the gospel. Satan believes the gospel more than you do. Scripture calls us to become the gospel. And it's the becoming that we're talking about as we're working through this sermon series. And I started last week with being consciously consecrated. And we spoke about the serenity of God, at least the sovereignty of God. Pardon me. And so tonight, what we're doing is we're moving to chapter 2. And chapter 2 we call Life of Testimonies. And what I've done is I've asked a few people to come and share their testimony of becoming the gospel. And if I can ask my esteemed guests to come and join me up in front, can we give them a hand this evening? And Eugene's going to sit closest to me. Two of them you know very well. One of them you don't know as well. Let me just try and kill these speakers. Maybe this helps with the feedback. Do you have enough lead there, Eugene? I've asked Alice Michelle, who's no stranger, and Gert, who's also no stranger, to come and speak through a little bit of their testimony, their story. And it's a great privilege to have both of you here, and we'll talk through it as we go. And I've also asked Eugene here to come and join us. You guys well know he's been giving quite a few teachings through the past while and been giving a sermon or two here. Just to come and share what God has been doing in their life. I think a lot of us struggle to get to a point where we go, how do I do it? Isn't that so? If you are a CA, yeah, can the CAs put up a hand? Whoop, whoop. That's like 50%, okay? All right, all the CAs. If you're an engineer, can the engineers put up your hands? Two engineers, only two engineers tonight. Wow, okay. Any doctors here tonight? We all are doctors. What? Marcel. Brother, we're going to have to pray for you. Is that a word of knowledge that you have for yourself? All right. So all our doctors were this morning. Yeah. Now, when you studied to be a CA, right, they pretty much told you how it works, didn't they? Okay, and then you started working and you realized it doesn't work at all like that. And then you started getting the hang of it, right? But you've been trained to be a CA, you've been trained to be a doctor, you've been trained to be an accountant, you've been trained to do the work that you're doing. Some of us moan, we haven't actually been trained and we have to learn on the job, right? But either way, there's a training that happens. But for many of us, we struggle to find our godly place, that place where God's called us into ministry. And I'm using ministry in a different term. So one ministry inside the body. There's a ministry that you're called to do inside the body. And there's a ministry you're called to do outside the body. And often in both places, we absolutely fail. We don't know where it is. We don't know how it looks. So we sit with people around us, maybe our neighbors, maybe family, maybe friends. And we're hard to engage because we're not sure how. Does this resonate to anyone? Okay, I'm a pastor, and sometimes every day I ask myself, how? Okay? I just do it a lot more than you because I've got more time to ask that. I just march up and down and go, how do we do this? How do I do this? How do I equip people? How do I disciple people? What energy must I put where? So I thank you for the honesty. And this evening I'd like to be able for us to reach out to a few people that I truly believe that are doing that. And that's why I've asked the panel up in front, so there's no pressure on them, to come and share how God has helped you walk in the road that He's called you to walk. Is that good? Is everyone happy? Okay. I'm going to fly to a telephone number. If you have a question that you'd like to ask this incredible panel, please do not be shy. I'm going to leave that question, that slide up there. Clarice, if we can leave that up there all night, your job is done almost for the evening. Easy peasy tonight. You don't have to stick with me because I just jumble through my sermon normally in the poor projector person's, where is this person? Tense is even worse because he actually just goes for it. I have to sort of still follow my notes. Absolute squirreling. So if you have a question, please pop up the question. If you have a question for a specific person, then put their name, hashtag, or what you call it, at Eugene, at Alice, Michelle, Alice, or AC, and then at Gert. AM, where am I? AC. Before. Alice. I'm dyslexic, don't laugh, it's not fair. Right, so A means Alice. G means Gert, E means Eugene. B means me. So if you have any question for any of us, please WhatsApp, send an SMS as we go along. And especially if they say something that sort of prickles something or provokes a thought. All right. In the end, what we're going to do is we're going to have the three guys pray for you. If you want prayer tonight, we'll pray for you personally. If you have personal questions afterwards, please use this opportunity. Right? I'm that irritating guy that uses opportunities. Not because I want to be seen or want to do something funky or funny. I really want to learn. So most of the time, I will go to a guest speaker. Depends the situation. But I'll go and ask him, can you please pray for me? Or how do you see this? Or how do you explain this? You said this. This is really something I'm grappling through. Can you tell me what God's telling you? And then they give you that nugget. And that nugget is often the one that you're looking for. So if you seek, you'll find. With that, I'd like to welcome you guys up in front before the firing squad. I'd like to just a short introduction, who you are, what you do, and how did you get saved? How long have you been saved for? Sort of like VCA. All right. Alice, we're starting with you.
Yay. My name is Alice Michelle. I have been saved for 17 years. It gets better every day. I was 10 years old when I got saved, 16 years old when I felt the call of the Lord in my life. And since then, it's really just been a joy to follow Him and to see the work that He does, because He's always busy working. So if we position ourselves right, we can always see the work that He's busy with.
Hi, I'm Gert. It's really hard for me to put a number to the years and everything. I grew up in church, but yeah, it's been a journey. I would rather say there's been instances where God revealed Himself to me various times, and it just grew my faith. I've been baptized 10 years ago this year, and yeah, I recommitted a couple of times in between. It was not just one moment. It was a couple of moments, a journey. I can use that word. But yeah, it gets better.
I thought all of you guys are CAs, but I'm from CFM. So, yeah, I came to know the Lord on the 18th of May 2003. And before that, my life was very empty. And yet very full of a lot of rubbish and a lot of searching. And
I can remember the evening so clearly, and I know for everyone that journey is quite different. Each one of us has our own walk with the Lord. And yeah, on the 18th of May 2003, I gave my heart to Christ, and my life was totally transformed. Every addiction that I had, it just left, and the Lord totally transformed my heart, and He literally came and He took what the locust has taken, because I grew up in a church family that went to church every Sunday, yet I had a performance-based relationship, and I thought that if I just did a certain amount of good things, then the Lord wouldn't be so unfair to not allow me into heaven. But I had quite a radical encounter with the Lord, and today I'm more in love with the Lord than what I was in 2003, because He keeps on changing me.
This morning I asked Eugene and his wife Talita to come and share, and good friends of mine from Hillsong. And our focus was more, how do you live as a family? And Eugene was the serious one there, and Mark was the absolute grapkas. Right? He was the joker. So it seems like Eugene's now taking over from Mark tonight, and he's going to be throwing more of the jokes. Next question. Let's just move right along. How do you live your testimony at work? And then maybe with Eugene, if you can explain kind of what happened in your work. Shall we start with Eugene, how your work life changed, the decisions you've made, just to get us up to speed where you're at.
I think some of you actually know the testimony, but on the 18th of May, when I came to Salvation, I just started to work a month prior to that. And I remember getting my first job. It was really quite an experience. When I got to my job, I got it literally the Sunday evening of Easter weekend. And when I walked into the place where I was supposed to work, the owner of the company employed me, but he never told anybody that I was coming to work there. So my immediate boss only found out later the afternoon, and I was sitting in the reception for most of the day. But and I didn't know where I was going to work, so I didn't know anything of business. I came straight out of varsity, and I ended up working in a fiberglass factory. I don't know, any one of you touched fiberglass? It's not a nice product to work with. So I ended up in each world, because everything you touch, you sort of, it just doesn't disappear. It goes into everything. But so I worked, and when I came to Salvation a month after that, my life totally transformed, and my only heart at the company was to see that everyone in the company had the same encounter with God like I had with God. And at first it was quite hard, because I didn't know how to really engage. And at first, probably about 2 years into my walk with the Lord, I got a lot more confidence, and I started to challenge my boss on every corner, who was not a believer, and he made quite a lot of interesting decisions, and many decisions that would really be bad for myself or for the company. But the Lord really taught me in that journey how to submit and how to honor my boss. Now, the beginning was quite tough, because I didn't honor him and I didn't respect him as the leader. And I know sometimes it is extremely tough to be in the marketplace, because everything resolves about the bottom line.
My previous boss got his job when he went to see the owner of the company. In the interview, they asked him, so why would you like this job? And he said, because I want to make money. And then he got the job. And that is very much how secular companies are set up. It's all about the bottom line. And coming to Christ, that was the last thing that was on my mind. And I challenged, in the beginning, I challenged everything. And it so happened that our relationship with my direct boss deteriorated after a while, that he would literally try to work me out of the company, and the Lord would just tell me, but stay put. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to be in a difficult space where it's not easy at work, when you come there and there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of challenges with your beliefs and the beliefs that people that work with you. But I want to encourage you that when we are at that workplace, it's actually our life that brings testimony, and the way that we live our life is many times the only Bible that people actually read. And it is so important that we really have Christ-like mannerisms at work, and that we really come to serve. And I remember one day driving to work, and I literally had fear. And I don't know, I told that testimony here at some stage, but my knees were like in the cartoons where the skeletons like do this. And I knew Bernie back then, and we actually came to know each other the same time when we came to the Lord. And I couldn't go to work because I was filled with fear. And I went straight to him and I phoned my boss and I said, listen, I'm not coming in today because I'm not feeling well. And we ended up praying during the day. But one of the breakthroughs came for me at the workplace when I actually forgave my boss, when I actually released him from all the burdens and all the pressure. And when I forgave him for what has happened in my life and all the challenges that I've undergone, my life was changed and our relationship was actually transformed. And there was much more opportunities to actually minister the gospel at the workplace because our relationship would change. Many times when we had staff meetings, he's from another religion, but he would ask me to pray at the staff meetings. When the company was going through difficult times, he would say, listen, Eugene, we would like you to pray. When there were staff issues or if there was good times, he would always say, but Eugene, open in prayer for us. And that was just a testimony of God's favor and God's goodness on my life, and to actually persevere through the tough times. And I know many of you are in those tough times, but don't go out of the company until the Lord releases you into the next season. Almost a year ago, I ended the career at the previous company, and God led me to resign without knowing what the next job was or what the next assignment was, but I had to take that step of faith. And many times it's actually that place where we need to trust the Lord for that next step, to know that He's actually our provider. 2 years prior to me resigning, my 4-year-old boy at that time, he was 4 years old, he's now 6, and I've got another boy that's almost 3, or almost 4. The one is 4 and the other one is 6. And we were driving on our skateboards in Hermanus, and then the owner of the company came past, and he stopped next to us, and he just wanted to know how things are. And so I told him, please park it just into the parking in front of our house. And then when he left, my little boy asked, who is that man? And he's never met him. So I told him, that is my boss. And this young boy looked at me and he said, but I thought Jesus was your boss. And as funny as as funny as that may sound, it actually brought a mind shift again in my mind to know that man is not my provision. Man is not my boss. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and He is the provision. And from that stage, there was a building block or a foundation that was laid in my life that I could actually go back onto when I took the step of faith to resign at my previous workplace and to go into the next season, which I'll tell you a bit about maybe in one of the... Yeah, I don't want to... I want to give these guys also a chance to to speak.
Cool. My story is a bit different. I've only worked for somebody. I only had a boss for 1 year of my life. But Jesus is my boss now as well. If I can take it back, I went to England after I studied. I got great opportunity there to work for companies after a year of delivering sandwiches. And I worked at really an amazing graphic design. I do illustration and graphic design. I draw since I was young. And God opened up a door. I didn't know it was Him, but His hand was so prominent in that time in England. That is also when I had a real encounter with God in England. And He led me to this company, which is really a groundbreaking company. And He revealed it in a dream that I'm going to work there. So I applied. I got it. It was really miraculous. But after about 5 months working there, I felt the call to come back home to Cape Town, especially. And I came back and I still worked for them for 6 months after that, and that was a year. And then I got fired. So I was and that was also like the time I tried to figure out my faith still, because I had this amazing encounter and really something with Jesus in London where He just imparted, that was one of the radical changes in my life. So trying to find a church, trying to find something, and I got fired. So I was really at rock bottom, but God, just that morning that I got fired, just gave a promise to me. I just wrote it down, and it was an SMS that somebody sent me, and it really resonated with me. And from there on, I started a company, because that's the only thing I can do. I have my laptop with another friend who was working with me. He also got kind of fired. So we just started up this company, and it just went so well. I'm lucky to come out of a house of entrepreneurs where my dad and my mom had businesses. And I really learned the ethics of good business from them. I can really honor them up until this day. And with that support, and we built up a really amazing company up into a stage for 4 years now long. And in the fourth year, God gave me a kind of a vision that he's going to give a massive door and a platform to talk to the world. And we got an opportunity to go to Apple in New York and give a presentation there, which was pretty massive. And I told it to the guy that worked with me. He's not a believer in everything, but there was just such opportunity to share with him and just to build this business out of nothing, just together, to a really great empire of influence. And then after that, 4 years, I think Marshall was there as well. There was something, it was about 2.5 years ago, God started to stir my spirit because He wants to do something, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I was just uncomfortable. And the way that I work with things, I type out whatever I feel and get my plans together. And then I'm like, okay, cool, God, this is how I feel. Well, how do you feel about it? If you give God the mic, He will speak. So He clearly said to me that I should leave everything. Everything. And that was a bit of a tough point. Because He gave me the choice. Everything that I've built up for these 4 months, because He's got other plans. He wants, the word that He gave me is wants to give me influence, a place of influence. So, but I was glad to be in this house because the support came here and the prayers and the agreement came here. And the next day I just went and I just quit, which was 3 to 4 months of absolute horror. Because nobody understands in the marketplace. When it's all about the money, honey, there's no love. And if you're breaking other people's empires as well. And that was tough. But I started up a new business in the same line. But from the beginning, I was like, okay, God, you need to step in now. And yeah, it's now 2.5 years later. My accountant is sitting here. And yeah, it's going well. God has opened up so much amazing doors to have influence in other people's life, other businesses from around the world, other God-fearing businesses contacting us, work that we need to do. And it's not easy, but there comes a place where, yes, man, your faith gets challenged. And to surround yourself with people that probably don't understand what you do, but believe the same as you, and have that impartation. And we've been challenged in our marketplace, being in a creative industry, the advertising, everything. We, every now and again, I think Carisha is also in that business, can say that there's some dodgy things out there, some dodgy things that people want to push, which is not according to your belief. And we've once had a very hard situation, and I'm very glad that my business associate now is also a believer and a Christ-fearing guy. We once had a situation of one of the big magazines in the world. They're doing a big feature about and promoting things of different cities. And usually, as it is with magazines, they want it yesterday when they brief you today. So it was a very rushed job. So we started with it right away. It was through our agent. And our agent is in London. He sourced most of our work. And halfway through the job, we did it halfway. They changed the brief and some of the details, which is promoting other things in this life that we do not agree with. And we're already halfway there, and they paid us for the project already. And this is... And when I got that email, my whole being just like, okay, I do not agree with this. I cannot draw these pictures. I cannot put my stamp on there. And it cost me a couple of discussions with our agent, with the client, where they come up to the point, they don't care. They really don't care. They paid for this. And if we don't follow through, this is contracts that's not being met. And me, I could just talk to my business partner and just like, I don't know, I can't do it. I can't. And we just prayed and we just trusted God. Because we can put a havoc. We can like get the Bible out and send the messages of slapping. But God just came through. As I woke up the next morning, I just got that email. They just like, yeah, they decided to do this rather. And yeah, God will fight for you. And there's so many things that I could have done that I did do in the previous business. No, it's just one project. You can just like let it slide. But God promised a place of influence. And I think there is places where you can, what's the word? Compromise. Thank you, Juliet. 50 grand for you. Wow. So yeah, there is some compromise in there, but no, there is no compromise. You're confusing me, Juliet. No compromise. And that is just what this business, and God has been really faithful in that. The business world is different, but Jesus is your boss, and I'm also a boss here, and I would say a place of submission somehow, somewhere in your life.
I mean, Alice, your story is a bit different as well. It's also why I brought three people in three different stages of life. Do you want to shortly just give, and most people here know your testimony, know your story, but just shortly give how yours kind of works?
Okay, so it's much easier for me, I think, to live my testimony in the workplace because I work full-time in the ministry. I don't pray for my pastors to get saved every day, even though sometimes I think I should. So I volunteer here on Mondays. I work with homeless people and the destitute. And then the rest of the week, I'm pretty much busy with either studying or the ministry involved with women in prostitution. So we do a lot of discipleship and restoration and follow-up and then outreach on the streets of Cape Town. I think just being the light in the darkness, those are really dark areas. And I think one of the big revelations I've gotten to, I've never worked in the corporate realm, and I hear stories of people working with people that I understand it must be really hard. But in the end, we're all the same. We're all a light in the darkness. And if we're a light in the light, we are useless. So we need to go out into the darkness and find it if it's not there, so that we can live our testimonies in the workplace.
Amen. I've restructured this question slightly, so I hope I don't throw you guys with it. What ministry vein is God calling you, and how are you pursuing it? How do you serve in the local church? It's basically, and how did you get there? How did God? I think many of us want to know, how did God get you there to that point that you knew this is what I must pursue? Alice, let's start with you.
Okay, it's been a real long journey. Like I said, I first heard the call of God when I was 16. At that time, I got saved at 10, and in those 6 years, I was not belonging to a church. I was not discipled either. I went to church or plugged into a church for the first time at the age of 16, and I got this group of friends, let's say 10 friends, that were all about 10 years older than me, and they started discipling me, and they taught me scriptures. They really just taught me things that I've already read in the Bible, because the Bible was my main discipler, but they actually demonstrated it to me, and I could see the Holy Spirit operating through them, and there was just this excitement. I just wanted to do what they do and be more like them. That thing of Paul saying, follow me as I follow Christ, I really experienced it, and these guys started walking the road with me, took me on missions, showed me how it works, and on one of the missions at the age of 16, I've never prayed for anyone out loud. They called me up on stage, or the whole team up on stage, and said, pray for these people for healing. And I was just like, just listen to what the person next to me says, and I repeat it, because I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. So the person next to me would say, rebuke this pain. And I'm like, rebuke this pain, but I don't even know what's wrong with the person in front of me. Anyway, it worked. God works. So hundreds of people got healed, really. Those of you who know me better, I lost my eyesight when I was 7, 8 years old. So it was a big question for me. It was a big, all these people are getting healed. I know God heals. He told me he can heal me. But now I'm here and I'm seeing the healing and I'm not healed. And I was very confused. And you can imagine it's been quite a journey. So it was about a week of just seeing all these miracles one after the other. And after this, it was literally on the 7th day, a blind guy came to me and said, can you pray for me? And I'm like, yes, that's harsh. And very angry with the Lord, but I told the man, I believe God can heal you, and I prayed for him, and he was healed. Since then, I've seen a few people completely blind, whose eyes were open. I became a bit of a miracle chaser, though. From the age of 16 to the age of 21, I just wanted to see miracles. I saw all people as projects. I just wanted to see the Holy Spirit operate, and he did. He's so faithful. He really does. But I think if I had to die in those days, I would have been that person that God says, but I didn't know you. And I'd be like, but I did all these things for you. Because I did, but I really think I missed something. And at the age of 20, I went on a camp, and God showed me his love for me and how much he loves me. And that's the key. If you can't love people, it's that 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. You can do all these things, but it's like a clanging cymbal if you don't have love. And my perspective changed completely. And up till now, when I look at people, I just see God's love for them and how much he loves them. And whenever I lose that focus, I need to go back to the Lord and remember how much he loves me, because that's the main source. So that was at the age of 21. I went to Israel, which changed my life radically. Just the life of compromise, like Gert mentioned, stopped completely. So I had to cut out a lot of... I never lived a rough life, but there was a few things in my life that I needed to cut out. Some friends that I needed to cut out. I would say I experimented a bit with the world, and I thought it was okay. But in Israel, God came and showed me to consecrate myself to fit in with last week's service as well. And since then, like I said, it's just been getting better every day. So at the moment, I've been living in Cape Town for 5 years. The poverty's on the streets everywhere, so I didn't need to go look for it. And every situation, I sit in front of a person, I'm like, God, I've got no clue what I'm doing, but I love this person. I've just got something inside me that loves this person, and I know you do, to the point that you died for him. And this guy is lost. He's got nothing. Maybe the only thing he's got is an addiction, and you love him, so you can set him free. And then I just start trusting the Lord, and I've seen so many things that he does. Again, I'm so thankful for the church, like Gert also said. The body here, people building me up, encouraging me, the team I've got, like amazing people around me, other people that's gone before me that's done the work. I work with an organization called Straatwerk. They've been busy in the streets for 50 years. So it's that great cloud of witnesses, and just learning from them and seeing the harvest. The harvest is so ready. You know, I think, in short, seeing God's love, walking in it daily, seeking it and then sharing it. That's the constant. Just and you just learn more and more of who he is and see how he operates in people's lives.
For those of you that don't know, Alice actually lives financially by faith. And just to say that Scripture says that without faith it's impossible to please God. And that Alice is just one of those walking testimonies of just going, Lord, I trust you will provide my daily bread. So I just want to honor you and thank you for that, Alice, for walking that testimony. It's the harder road. And we really honor you for that. Amen. Gert.
I primarily started serving on the intercession team Thursday mornings and just before church, yeah. I mainly started serving there because I'm a really curious person. And somewhere in the church they say, if you want to hear how God speaks, you want to learn it. So I just started showing up and just never stopped showing up. It's really cool. Yeah. Please join us then. So I am there. Oh, and then, yeah, through this design and illustration, everything, I like to serve the church in that, like with the Let's Talk and the Lunchtime Church, and sometimes it's really fun to, sometimes they've asked me to do prophetic, they're not going to tell me much about the sermon, I should just hear from the Lord. I'm like, okay, thank you. But God is really faithful in that as well. But recently, I think we had a gift of the Holy Spirit, small group here, whoever was here. You guys have, there's so many people here who know the journey and everything. Like, we, Debbie was here, yeah, and we talked about the whole healing thing, and I just went to the hospital to get my 5 people in one night to heal. And God really showed up and touched my heart in terms of healing. But it also goes way back. My life, I'm a really healthy person. Not in terms of I eat kale and drink smoothies. I do that as well. But not just in terms of that. Like, I can count on my one hand the time that I've been sick. Like, I never get flu, maybe just for a day. But, yeah, I've never any had illnesses. But ever since I was young, believing or not, I just like, believe I'm healthy. And whenever there's a sickness, I don't pray for it. I just speak against it, and I get healed. Like, there was been many times. I once ran, and my knee, I had ITB. I did my first marathon, and I got ITB halfway, and I just rebuked it. It just left me, and I just ran on. I got eye infections. I had eye operation because I had glasses when I grew up, and I had eye infections in between, which is very serious if I had this specific operation. I just pray for it, and it gets healed. Wow. So healing was nothing new for me personally. And about a year ago, Bernie, just in the middle of a lunch, we just had a casual chat, and he's like, hey Gert, you should pray for people for healing. So about that, I'm like, what? He said, yeah, you should just go. I'm like, okay, Bernie, whatever. So that was a year ago, and I kind of forget about it, but that night here, we had the healing things, and when I went to the hospital, something, there was revelation from God about he wants something to do with this, which is really strange for me. If you grew up with me, there's nobody that grew up with me here. I fainted in my life so many times because other people got injections. Not even because I got, like, even when I got, I'm not keen of blood. I'm not keen of any, I don't know why. I'm not a sissy, but I'm just like, I think the word is a bit squeamish. Like, if somebody, don't call me if you break your arm or something, I will be the worst person to. But now God sent me to the hospital to pray for people, and it's challenging on any level, but every time I go in there, I'm just like, God, please just show up. And the hospital is actually, for me, a really easy place than in on the streets, because nobody can run away first. Some of them are tied to the beds, which is awesome. I only had 2 people saying, no, don't pray for me. One was a Muslim, and the family was there, so it was a bit, yeah, it was just no. And somebody else was really not in the mood. And others were sleeping. So, but yeah, God has been faithful there. And it's great that also people come alongside. Because going there alone, it's tough. because the spiritual realm is—it's a real fight. It's a real battle. Like when you're there, there's the battle and the voices in your head and stuff. Just the things ministering there is just hectic. But once there's other people along, it's just so much unity and power. And so that is where the Lord is starting to lead me in. And is that answering a lot?
Yeah. With Alice Michelle, we find that she's been walking this road a bit longer, and with Gert, what we're finding is it's a great space, and I'd really like to invite you on my own behalf, I feel sorry for Gert, but to put eyes on, because to watch someone that's just about to walk and just walking in a ministry that God is literally birthing. You know, sometimes we come to church and a ministry has been going for 10, 20 years, Straatwerk has been going for 50 years. But it's a ministry that we're looking into and praying about, and because God heals, and God always wants to heal. And I don't even think we should need to call it a ministry, because it's not like God wants to have a healing ministry or deliverance ministry. We're called to heal, we're called to deliver. But it's a vein where people that are drawn in, want to learn more about healing or just want to see healing. You know, I don't believe God heals. Gert, can I come with you? Now, it's great for our own faith to walk with someone that walks by the Spirit. So Gert's still kind of working it out. Hey, Gert.
Yes, one thing that I want to share is that the Lord really, really, scripture, put in my heart, is these signs and wonders will follow them who believe, not those who are gifted.
Amen. Then Eugene's going to carry on with his beautiful story.
To get back to Jesus as being my boss, when Jesus saved me, he saved me full time. He didn't save me part time. And when we speak of being full time in the ministry, each one of us sitting here are full time in ministry. I just want to encourage you with that, because many times we think that it is some place that we need to get to. But when Jesus came to save us, he saved us fully, not halfway. So I just want to encourage you, each one of us sitting here are in full time ministry. And you know, just one part on that. Let me just continue the story and then I'll share this little part. But so on the 27th of July last year, I was asking the Lord, when is he releasing me into the new season that he was talking to me for quite some time? And then the evening or the afternoon, I asked him, he must send three people over my path. And then the evening, I was preparing to come and do a teaching over here. And the evening before that, the Lord's presence just came over me and he said, my son, I don't need to send three people over your path. I release you into your new season. And something of the Father's heart just broke that evening, that he so much cares for me that he says he releases me. And it was quite an interesting road, because the Monday morning I was so excited. I went to my boss of 10 out of the 13 years and I told him that I'm resigning from my workplace and I would like to work out a month and then 2 months part-time, and the reason why I'm leaving, I'm going into ministry and business. And it was quite an amazing reaction. We just like jumped up and said, wow, that's amazing. We can start businesses together. You can come and minister at the factory. And that was just an amazing place where the Lord just opened a door for ministry even greater at the workplace. And you know, the funny thing that happened in that time was that there were so many people that were undercover Christians that actually came out of their covers and they said, wow, that's amazing, I also go to church. They didn't really know how to connect it because it was quite a bold move to, or a move of faith to resign without knowing exactly what the next step was. And because the only thing that pleases God is faith. And I really believe that we need to consistently be walking in a place of being in faith and walking in faith and trusting the Lord for things. And in that whole period, when I, after I resigned, the Lord just started to speak to me and I wanted to get things going because I was in charge of two factories and had a lot of people reporting to me and I was in operation, so there was no holding back. And then the Lord told me, but I want you to rest. So for about 3 months, I just went to sit at His feet. And I just received from Him. And it was quite challenging in the beginning. Because the only thing that you think of, but how is the bond going to be paid? How's that going to be paid? And people ask you, but who's paying for this? And but the Lord was so faithful that every single month He provided, through either my boss deciding just to pay me 2 months in advance for like no reason after I resigned, or my wife getting a bonus. But the Lord then just started to open doors, and I'm working 2 days now in Shofar Stellenbosch with Sias, and then 3 days with Pastor Heinrich in Somerset West. And it's really amazing privilege to also work with these guys. But what I want to say is that we are all called to be in full-time ministry. Now, sometimes we just need to make a bit of reference also to Ephesians 4, because this is what the difference is. We're all in full-time ministry, but there's the fivefold ministry, which says, and He Himself, as Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that's why we've got pastors and evangelists and these guys to come and equip. But each one of us sitting here, we are in full-time ministry.
Thank you very much for that. I'd like to move on to the next question. What sacrifices have you had to make to walk this road?
I would like to go first. I just want to go back to the previous question because I didn't necessarily answer it fully. But when I came to salvation, my first home group that I had, or the first cell group, those guys are still my best friends. I still walk a road with them. When I came to the Lord, I started to do the foundation courses. I started to do Bible school. And those were the places where I was being equipped. And it was just an amazing place to also know that I can also give. And once I did an encounter or a foundation course, I immediately signed up to join the team to actually minister to other people. And, you know, it's really amazing to see that it is so much more blessed to give than to receive. Within the first 2 years of coming to Christ, I went on a mission trip to India. Bernie also joined me back then. And my life... we're still waiting for him to go back. But my life was transformed in that place of actually giving. When I come to church, I come with a mindset of actually giving, not to just sit and receive. And that is what changed a lot in me, to change what I thought at first that I didn't have anything to give. But the Lord, even through when we just pray for somebody, the Lord just releases something good into the people. The sacrifices. They were, I wouldn't necessarily call them sacrifices. I would more call them privileges. Last year I went back to India, and there are times that when you are there, you are away from your family. So you leave your family behind and you go on outreaches. Three evenings during the week I'm involved with this, or one evening, Monday evenings, I'm involved with street church, with the street people. On Tuesday evenings I teach Bible school, and Wednesday evenings is cell groups. So there are sacrifices where we don't get to maybe spend such a lot of time with your family, but you also put those boundaries in place that the crucial times that you actually get to them, from 6 till or half past, or say from 6 o'clock in the morning until half past 7, that's like crucial time that I spend with my boys when they wake up, and in the evening. So with it also comes the boundaries that you put in place. So the Lord will really reward us for every sacrifice that we make. And it's really encouraging to see how faithful the Lord is.
Amen.
Yeah, sacrifices. First of all, I already told, like, the whole bit. Ever since I was young, I knew I want my own company. Like, I was... Everybody always said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I've never wondered about it. I always knew I want to draw and have my own company. And yeah, when God challenged me to give everything up, that was kind of a big challenge and sacrifice. And also in between the new company, the couple of jobs we needed to let go, which was great money. But yeah, to stand. But it's good to have people to keep you accountable to. Sometimes a sacrifice is hard to do. In terms, try to think now about a year and a half ago, I've also came across a really, really tough place in my life. I think this whole leaving a business and tough space that I was in really crashed a lot of things, bringing a lot of things that I think God just used it to bring all, you know, that thing about going through the fire, everything turns. It's a nice fridge magnet. Yeah. But real life, it's tough when you get to do life and make really hard decisions. And I can remember like a time I sat with Bernie. I was so offended with Bernie. Yeah. It was my problem, not Bernie's. But I was offended.
Just interrupt. If you ever want to be my friend, you have to be offended to be bunny first. That's like golden rule. I love you. I'm sorry. I just push buttons. I didn't mean it. It's not my fault. It's the way God made me.
Yes. And, like I was at a place and Bernie just like, yeah, you got this choice and this choice. And I was like, I was crying and it was really a horrible place. But need to sit in front of the Lord like, it's a place where you need to really... sacrifice your own will. And that is where, if I can do one thing, to be in submission somewhere and to have people around you just like, okay, this is my will, this is how I feel, this is what I want, this is everything, but this might not be what God wants. And even if it's like part of you for your whole life up until that point, to sacrifice it and not knowing what identity God has for you. And there's a lot of that going on.
That's good.
It's a difficult question for me. I'm going to add to what Eugene said. It doesn't feel like a sacrifice. I think I was on holiday last week, and the biggest sacrifice was thinking of this question all week. Because I believe Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, and I'm walking in that. And yes, I've been through the fire, exactly like Gert said, and there's been times where I'm like, this is not fun anymore. But afterwards, when you look back, it's really more like Daniel's friends in the fire. There's such a joy in it. There's such a space of serving Christ. He's the one who suffered and sacrificed, and we're walking in that reward. And every time we go through the fire, it's to become more like him and to see more of him. Yes, there's been a lot of sacrifice in terms of time. Most of you know Friday nights I spend on the streets, so I don't do birthday parties and things. And There hasn't been one moment really in my life that I thought, yes, I would rather be in my bed now, or I would rather be with my family now, or I would rather, like, I just really, really enjoy serving him and seeing the work he's been doing. In fact, there's been times where I wanted to just be at 3 or 4 places at the same time, and I want to be in all the teams at the same time, and on missions, and here in Cape Town, and I just want to see what the Lord is doing. So there's been sleepless nights, there's been times where I cry, there's been times where I really feel like I've got nothing more to give. And I guess that is the sacrifice, but it's the choice that I've made. And then I just remind myself, but this is what I chose, and I don't want to choose anything different. And it's like we partner with Christ's sacrifice, so we don't have to suffer because he suffered for us. And even in the suffering, there is so much joy in it.
Amen.
I just want to add to that. I think the biggest challenge that we many times face is being offended or being hurt relationally. And I remember a time when somebody really dear to me offended me, like, so great. It was just...
I'm sorry, Eugene. I didn't mean to do it.
So It was just such a tough time. And I remember going to the Lord about this situation, and it was as if the Lord came like a sponge, and he took everything, all the hurt that I had, into that sponge, that I had no more resentment towards the person. And that, I just want to just connect that to what she shared, that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And the difficult part is that when we can't forgive, it is actually pride that is in us. And that's very, very, very hard. But it's actually pride in us that doesn't allow us to forgive. And that is probably the toughest areas, is those relational areas where we are hurt, to actually forgive. To let go of what you feel is right and you're right. I just want to put that out there. But it's just also amazing to know that when Jesus died on the cross, when he was on that cross at the very end, he said, please forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. And he didn't say that out of a prideful place. He said it with all humility. And I really believe that as we go through life, there will be those challenges. But what do we choose in those times? Do we choose to be Christ-like, to forgive, because he already forgave us? Which reminds me of that story that Jesus told about the servant that owed the king a lot of money. And he actually was supposed to sell his family and work forever to repay the king. And then the king felt sorry for him, and he forgave him all his debt. And the very next moment, he goes to somebody that owed him money, and he got the guy put in prison. And then the king found out about it, and he was furious. And he took that guy and he gave him over to tormentors, to be tormented. And there's just this one place where I really believe that God doesn't really understand unforgiveness, because he has made the ultimate sacrifice for our sin.
Amen. We have 3 evangelists up in front, so they're going to preach at you as well. I actually realized. with the altar call. We'll do the altar call. If there's any questions, now would be a good time to WhatsApp or to SMS. I've got one question here from someone in the crowd that was really a good question. How do you stay motivated or encouraged?
About 3 years ago, the Lord started to speak to me about my quiet times. But I never had good quiet times, because life was just too busy with the children, not sleeping and all sorts of things. But my love for the Lord just started to grow, and I started to have quiet times at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that place of really connecting with God, but it was never out of a place of being forced, but it was more out of a place of meeting the lover of my soul. In the mornings, many times when I get into the living room and I put the worship music on, the Lord's presence is already in that room, and that is what motivates me. That is what encourages me in those difficult times. My wife, a couple of years ago, she was literally on a deathbed. I had a 10-day-old baby, the second child that was born, and she had to go back to hospital because of pain and a misdiagnosis. And the evening when she was literally on a deathbed, the Lord just came over me, and I knew I had to worship. I knew that I just had to go and praise Him. And in praising Him, even the situation was really extreme, it was really difficult, but He really came through in that place of being intimate with Him.
Amen.
There's a few things that keeps me encouraged. Definitely I want to add to what Eugene said, the quiet times. When I go through a difficult time, I double my quiet time, like just spend more time with the Lord. It's harder, but it works every time. The scriptures are so encouraging, like really just seeing what Paul went through, seeing what Jesus went through, reading the Gospels, that gives me strength. My guitar, so also worship time. I really just play me and the Lord. I don't play in front of other people. To me, it's very intimate between me and the Lord, and it really encourages me. It always helps the private worship. And then the people in my life. I am a bit of an extrovert. I have incredible people in my life. So I just send a message saying it's time for cheesecake or whatever the case is. And sharing testimonies, really. If sharing my own testimony, sharing other testimonies, asking people what the Lord's done for you this week, just to encourage me. Gert is actually an incredible guy. When we go out for, what did we go for, milkshakes the other night, it feels like we're throwing, like passing a ball to each other. Like, you share testimony, I share testimony, you share testimony. And we walk out that place and we're so psyched. We're like, let's go change the world. Because it's just encouraging to see what God does. And even your own personal salvation testimony, go into the streets and just share it with someone. Just say, can I just tell you what the Lord did for me? And even if you have to go fetch it from 10 years ago, like, I just feel so encouraged when I told people what God has done for me.
Yes, I want to add to that. Just sharing testimony for me is really encouraging. That's why I spend time with Alice every now and again doing that. Just around you with people, like fan into flame. Like, we need to fan into flame each other. And
amen.
Yeah, sometimes I have a recording of my voice in my phone when I go for a run. It just encourages me. Go, Gert, go, go. True story. Yeah.
Pray about that one. Okay, just pray first.
You get those power songs button in the app that you're running with it. Okay, cool. And yeah, like to really see how the little that you have, how God can use that, is so encouraging. Like, to actually just see how God comes through, to physically see that, it's just so encouraging. And that's kind of a prayer that I constantly ask God, open my eyes to see what you're doing. Because God also likes the courage. And then another thing, if you're going through a tough time, somebody once said in just a random conversation, but it struck with me, is if you're going through a tough time, look for somebody in the Bible who went through the similar thing. Because I think the Bible is very comprehensive. A lot of people went through a lot of things. And just what did he do? What did he do wrong? And yeah, the Psalms are also like a great cry out.
Brilliant.
We now leave space for two more questions, so I need one more question from the crowd. This is a little bit of a more difficult question. It's to the panel. How do you respond to unbelievers standing by when God does not heal and you've prayed for someone? Does anyone want that one?
I think when God doesn't heal, it shouldn't shape our belief. It shouldn't change what we believe. Because if we're going to allow what others might believe and what other people say, then we are not grounded in Christ. We are not in Christ, if you hear what I'm saying. So we must be careful in any event for other people defining who Christ is, because he's still faithful. Even though something didn't happen that specific time, we don't know all the reasons for why it didn't happen, but the Lord is still faithful. He still wants to heal. We can't let our paradigms or our Christ-like character be formed on what other people believe. And if something didn't happen, I would like to encourage you to run again. Don't let something that didn't happen stop you from going. There's many testimonies. I mean, I think of Smith Wigglesworth. They asked him, "So how does it feel to raise somebody from the dead?" And then he would say, "Well, do you know how many people didn't rise from the dead?" So I don't think that we must be too worried about what unbelievers think of when somebody didn't get healed.
Yes, Gert.
Cool. A thing that I've learned in my short walk is God is outside of time, and to really compress and package your time to be only in a matter of time where you are now, not to do that, because faith is much bigger than that. And I believe, also, if it's in a situation where unbelievers are, the first place that you can be is you're not Jesus. You're not God. Take a place of humility, of humbleness in, and this is what you believe. You might not see it now physically with this, but I don't think you can like reduce faith, because then you're getting into doctrine shifting. I also believe, sorry, Alice. Do not try to explain or to go into reasoning. Because I think that also comes with pride, trying to explain and get excuses and everything. Like, sometimes it happens, sometimes not. Like, just recently, this week, actually, I'm also struggling with that. Because I just see not a lot of people healed, but I do see some people. And somewhere, I was crossing the road, actually, at that moment. And God just said, like, why did I describe faith as a seed and not as a grain of sand? They're both small, they're both equal size, but the one can grow and the other one can't. It's the substance of your faith, not the size. And allow it to grow. Keep on going, keep on watering faith. Like, sure, I'm not there yet, but I really believe God is a healer. Let's pray again. Let's trust the God. Like, walk a road if you can for purple. Just keep on growing, keep on watering that seed to grow.
I'd like to add, if I can, also to that, if it's all right. Sometimes we really misrepresent Christ. And I think it's really important to understand that when we're praying for people, people seek honesty and humility. It means a lot more when you phone them up afterwards and ask them, "Are you okay?" That people can see that we actually walk a road. And especially if there's witnesses and there's people around there, and you can say, "Listen, guys, please contact me if you have questions." Mm-hmm. That people see that you're approachable, that you're humble, and that you're willing to walk a road with people. And when you come in meekness, the spirit is a different spirit. When we come in a spirit of a barbaric spirit, or "I'm here, I'm the man, I'm the healer," be it in whatever situation, be it that you're the guy with all the answers because God's giving you word of knowledge, how to do your job, in any of the gifts of God, when we come humble, people can see our humility. So, and sometimes you have to, when God doesn't pitch, you got to make sure that everyone's okay. So there's been times that I've had to minister to people where I've had to draw people aside because I saw they got hurt in a sermon. I see something that I said upset them. It's my role to go to that person if I know that Scripture says if someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar and run to that person. Mm. So sometimes I have to, before I can go back into the pulpit, I have to leave it and I have to go sit with people and say, are we okay? I've noticed, I've seen something you've written on Facebook, or I've heard people saying, or your WhatsApp or your SMS you sent me. I feel a bit of there's a bit of a resentment or a bit of anger or a bit of something ministering. Can we talk about this? And to be able to use that opportunity as a discipleship opportunity. Mm. Everything we do, everything you do, should be a discipleship opportunity. If you think as a disciple of Christ, how can I disciple this person right now? This is a learning moment for this person. Mm. Be it that they save, be it that they walk with the Lord, or be it that they don't walk with the Lord, you can point them to Christ. Because all prophecy points and leads to Christ. Mm. So if you use that opportunity, that will be, the Lord can turn that around. Even when there's not healing. Mm. Even when the Lord does not pitch the way we want Him to pitch. Is that good? All right. If that's okay, we're going to end there tonight. Can we give them a round, please? I just want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for coming and making yourselves available. This is not easy, guys. This is not easy to sit in front of people and say, listen, I'm Joe Soap, and I just want to share my story. Please don't stone me. I don't have the answers. You know, Tien and myself, we don't have all the answers. It's a journey that we walk together. And the reason I could have asked a lot of people from other churches as well to come and talk, I could have gotten the bee's knees of the bee's knees, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to show us that God uses us, and we walk together. Amen. And as we work up towards next week, and as you pray this week and seek God, I would like you to ask the Lord, Lord, here am I. Make a statement to the Lord. And say, Lord, here am I. I have a few fish, I have a few pieces of bread. Can we multiply this? For some of you, you look down, you don't see what the fish is, you don't see what the bread is. That's fine for now. We'll work it out. And what I've noticed is something that I picked up in all three was that there's a seeking, there's intimacy, there's faith, and there's a little bit of suffering. You see, if it doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth anything. If it costs you everything, it's worth everything. We are worth everything to Jesus Christ. That's why He died. You're worth everything to Him. He gave up everything, so you're worth everything. So, in your own life, and don't worry about the suffering, guys. The Lord will not allow you to go through anything you can't handle. What's awesome is that you will see how much you can actually handle. And I want to encourage you for next week to really pray through this and go, Lord, I really want to make a difference. I want to become the gospel. Because something that also was said by all of you, the joy that comes in it, there's no other place. It doesn't even feel like a sacrifice. When you're doing what you're called to do, it will not feel like a sacrifice. There's real joy in it. All right. I'm going to close here in prayer. We've run out of time. If you want prayer afterwards from one of these people, please come for whatever. If you have any questions, please ask. Lord, we thank You for these testimonies tonight, Lord, that You take normal people, Lord, and normal people like ourselves up here in front. There's not one of us that's something special, something amazing. We're just normal people that love You. And Lord, that You change, Lord, and You mold, and You call, and You anoint, and You train, and You send us out. Father, You're just looking for someone that says, here am I. Send me. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we've heard these testimonies, that something will resonate in our spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that You will, in this week, come and speak to each one of us. You say in the Word, Lord, that a man's gifting makes room for him. We pray to see those gifts that makes room for us. Some of us don't even realize the gifts we have. Some of us are moving in gifts, but we don't realize it yet. how it actually makes room for us. And we pray, Lord, that this week will be a week, Lord, where you will come and break open in our spirit, that you will speak. I command, Lord, that every ear open this week to receive the word of God, to hear the voice of the Lord. That we might become the gospel, living stones. And so we ask, Lord, that you'll come and bless us, lead us. Lord, some of us are called to start ministries. Some of us are called to be part of ministries. Some of us are called just to come and serve in the church. Some of us are called to take a stand at the workplace. But I pray in this season, Lord, that you will awaken that love. The love for the people around us, the love that for that gifting. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. Such a privilege. Thank you once again for the panel. Thank you, guys. Have a great Sunday. Have a great week up and coming.